Amen. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here today. And let me say, for those of you that are watching on Facebook Live, thank you for being here as well. It's a little strange for us. For years, we had online worship, but primarily I addressed those of you who are in the room. And then for 13 weeks, I primarily addressed those of you who are watching on Facebook Live. And now we're in this mix where some of you are here and some of you are there, and the two worlds we're trying to merge together. So thank you, and thank you for being here as well. As you can see today, we are continuing our series that we started a few weeks ago called Now These Three Reign, Fear, Doubt, and Worry. There is a well-known verse that's found in 1 Corinthians 13 that reads like this: Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And this series is a little bit of a play on that verse. I think most of us would say over the past several months with the pandemic and the economic crisis and the racial tensions and all the uncertainty that is going on in our country, that faith, hope, and love have been in short supply. But in abundance, we have seen fear and doubt and worry. And so over these past few weeks, we have talked about these emotions that have seemed to be so prevalent right now in our hearts and our minds. And the first week we covered fear, last week we looked at doubt, and today we are looking at this emotion that we call worry. Now, worry and fear are first cousins. They're good friends, they tend to hang out a good bit, but they're different. There's a little bit of a difference between these two, and so let's give a couple of definitions so maybe we can see the difference in these two. Here's a definition of fear. Fear is the belief that something or someone is dangerous or harmful. And if you were here with us the first week, you know I talked about the fact that fear is a good, God-given, healthy emotion. Fear is something that we want to have in life. And the example I used was that of a child touching a hot stove. If that child touches the hot stove, then he learns a lesson that the stove is hot and I should not do it again. And so he has a healthy fear of touching a hot stove. And that healthy fear is good. It keeps him from doing it again. Fear in a good, healthy dose helps us avoid dangerous circumstances or harmful situations. Now, we can get to the point where we have no fear or we are fearless, and that's unhealthy. Like the child touching the hot stove who does not learn the lesson. What does he do? He continues to touch the stove again and again and again, bringing himself harm. When we are fearless, when we have no fear in life, we tend to put ourselves in harmful situations because we have not learned the lessons that we have experienced in life and had an appropriate amount of fear. Then there's the other extreme we talked about that week, which is fearful, when you have too much fear in your life. And so too much fear is the person who says, well, look, not only will I not touch the hot stove, I won't ever cook again because, you know, what if I touch that hot stove? Or I won't go into the kitchen. You know, there's a stove in there and it could be hot. And if I go in the kitchen, I might touch the hot stove. I'll avoid the house altogether. I won't even go into the house because what if I touch the hot stove? And so that is the extreme on the other end. And that's a dangerous place to be as well. And so we said that fear is good in the right amounts. Now, worry is a little bit different. Worry is a state of anxiety over actual or potential problems. And so worry is this emotional state. Now, worry is a God-given emotion that is also for our good. We just don't call it worry. In a healthy sense, worry is what we call concern. And concern is good. Concern is healthy. Concern is something you want to have over those things and those people who are important to you. Most of you in here know that Katie and I have four kids at home, and we love those kids. Therefore, we have a lot of concern about their well-being. And that concern is good, and it is healthy, and it causes us to make decisions for their lives that are good for those kids. For example, when our older two were younger, and now with our younger two, we have this rule that they cannot play in the street. When you go outside, you can play in the driveway, you can go into the backyard, you can go into the front yard, but you cannot go into the street. In fact, there is this line in the concrete, and we say you cannot go past that line. If you're throwing a ball and the ball goes past that line into the street, you come and you get us, and we will go and get the ball. We have concern over their well-being, and we do not want them going into the street where it might not be safe, where they could get hit. And so we say, out of concern, here is the rule. Do not go past the line. Now, the extreme of concern on one end is, I don't care. I just don't care. I have no concern. I don't care at all. For example, with our kids, if that was my attitude, I would say, you want to go in the street? Fine. Go in the street. Why? I don't care. You know, you want to play with matches? Sure, play with matches. Here are a few matches. Take the matches. Go and play with the matches. Why? I don't care. You need some lighter fluid with it? It really helps a lot. If you're trying to make a big fire, here's some lighter fluid. You get to be a teenager. You want to go out with friends, friends I don't know, friends I have no clue about, friends I've never met. I don't know what's going on. Sure, go ahead. Why? I don't care. You want to stay out till midnight, well past midnight? Just come on home anytime you want. Come on in the morning. I just don't care. Well, obviously, that's not a good place to be. We want to have concern over the well-being of our children, over those we love. And so saying, I don't care, isn't good. Then there's the other extreme. The other extreme is what we call worry, right? So worry is taking concern to an unhealthy place. It's not that I'm just concerned over my child's safety. It's that that concern consumes my thought life. It consumes my emotions. And so more than just establishing the rule that here is the line and you cannot go in the street, I lay in bed at night and I think about them crossing that line and going into the street. And over, I run scenarios in my mind of what if they go into the street, and what if they go into the street when a car is coming, and what if that car doesn't see them, and what if that car has not had their brakes serviced, and what if that car is going too fast, and what if they're in the street and that car is coming and the car cannot stop, and what if, and what if, and what if? So worry takes me to an unhealthy place. Now, here's my guess. If you're like me, here's my guess, and I just bet you I'm right. Over these last several months, as we have faced pandemic, economic crisis, stock market down, up a little bit, back down again, uncertainty over the job market, racial tensions and the protest and all that's happening with that. As we have faced all of this, my guess is you have not gone to the extreme of I don't care. My guess is you have gone to the extreme of worry. And even before all of this began, even before 2020, my guess is for those people who are important to you and those things that are important to you, you didn't have a problem of just not caring enough. Your problem where you struggled, where it became unhealthy, was when you went to the side of worry, right? It's something that we struggle with. It's something when we care, when we have concern, when we love someone, when something is really important to us, we have a tendency to go to that place of worry. So what do we do? How do we fight this? How do we get to that healthy state of concern without bleeding over into worry? That's what we're going to look at this morning. If you've got a Bible or one of those Bible apps with you, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at this passage where Jesus addresses the issue of worry head on. And here's what you need to know, just to set this up. This is found in the context of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. This is a long passage, it's Matthew 5 through 7, where Jesus talked to a crowd on this mountainside. And in this long sermon, he talked about all these different areas of life, everything from marriage to our thought life to how we should approach our relationship with God, even how to pray. He talks about almost every slice of life in this sermon. And in the context of this sermon, he talks about worry. And that's what we'll see. Again, this is Matthew 6. We'll read through the passage and then come back and talk about talk about these issues, talk about these principles. So here's what Jesus said. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay, so Jesus here lays out several principles about worry. The first is this. Jesus says that worry is illogical. Look back at verse 26. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So here Jesus in this sermon says, hey, I want you to quit looking at me for just a moment. I want you to look up. Look up at the trees. Look up into the sky. What do you see? Birds. Yeah. See those birds? See how God takes care of those birds? See how they are fed? See how they don't have to store away? See how God cares for the birds? Are you, this is a rhetorical question, are you not more valuable than they? And everyone's like, well, of course, we know that we're more valuable than birds. And Jesus says, well, look, God takes care of the birds. Isn't it just reasonable? Doesn't it make sense? Isn't it logical that he will take care of you as well? Then Jesus basically makes the same point when you skip down to verse 28, and this time it's about flowers. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed as one of these. And so here Jesus says, okay, quit looking up at the sky, quit looking at the trees. Look out at the field. What do you see? Flowers. Okay. Look how beautiful they are. Look at those flowers. Remember Solomon? And they would have said, oh yeah, of course, everyone remembers Solomon, this king from 1,000 years ago who was incredibly wealthy, had so much money, he could wear whatever he wanted to wear, buy whatever clothes he wanted to buy. And Jesus says, look, I tell you, Solomon, with all of his money and all of his fabulous clothes, his threads were not as great and as beautiful and as wonderful as the flowers in the field. And you see how these flowers are so incredibly beautiful? And don't you think that you are more important than flowers? And the people would have said, well, yeah, we think that God loves us more than flowers. Then it is reasonable, then it is actually illogical to think that God won't care for you. So you're worried about stuff that you should not worry about because God cares for you and he is in control of every detail in your life. So don't worry because it's illogical to worry. Then Jesus says this. He says, not only is worry illogical, worry as well is useless. And then there's this line that he gives that is just so incredibly helpful. Jesus said, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Can any one of you, by worrying, change your situation in any way? Again, this is a rhetorical question. And again, the answer is, well, no. Jesus, you're right. When I worry, I can't add an hour to my life. When I worry, I can't add a day or a week or years to my life. I can't change the outcome. Jesus, there's really nothing practical that worrying does for my life. So just take a scenario for a moment. Imagine some situation where you are worried about something. Let's take money, because that seems to be one we all worry about, right? We all have financial concerns. So let's imagine that you've got something that is worrying you around the issue of money, and it is worrying you to death. Maybe it's your job, and there's uncertainty, and you're not sure, or there's this bill that you think is coming, and it's going to be a big one, and you're worried about that amount, or maybe it's an investment, and you don't think it's going to work out the way you thought it was going to work out, and so you're just really worried about this thing. I mean, all day long, it's consuming your thoughts. When you go to bed at night, it's the last thing you think about before you go to sleep, and it's the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning, and a lot of times you can't sleep because it's just consuming you. You're laying awake at night and thinking about it, and you can't eat because, you know, this thing is just consuming you. It's on your mind all the time, or you're eating everything in sight because you're a worried eater, and worried eaters eat everything. And when you're a worried eater, you eat carbs all the time. And so you're gaining all kinds of weight because you're eating carbs, because carrots and broccoli do not work when you're worried eating. You cannot go to the farmer's market and buy the right food to eat when you're worried eating. You've got to go to the Circle K, because prepackaged carbs are what work when you're worried eating. So you're worried about it, and you're eating all the time, and it's just consuming you. So think about the situation. You're worried eating. You're worried. There are two possible outcomes. The first thing is, it never happens. You're worried you're going to lose your job, doesn't happen. You're worried about the bill, and you get it, and the bill's a lot lower than what you thought it was going to be. You're worried about this investment. Turns out it works, and it works fine. You're worried for nothing. And now you've lost all this sleep, you've just consumed your life, you've gained all this weight for nothing, because it never happened. Outcome number two is, it does happen. You do lose the job. The bill does have a big old fat high number on it. The investment does tank, just like you thought it would. And so you worried, and what you worried about came true, but your worrying never changed the outcome. And so now you're broke and overweight because you worried, ate, and you've lost all this sleep, and you've aged because you worried, but it never once change the outcome. That's what Jesus is saying in this verse. Can worry really do anything for you? And the answer is no. No, I worry about it, but it doesn't change the ultimate outcome. Jesus here is saying that practically speaking, worrying does nothing, that it is useless. And then here's the final thing he says in this passage. Not only is worry illogical and useless, worry is a roadblock. Worry is a roadblock to you becoming the person that God has created you to be. See, in verse 25, right at the very beginning, here's what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Now, if you've been in church any amount of time, you've likely heard a pastor say, when you're reading along in Scripture and you come across a therefore, what do? You stop and you ask, what is therefore? And so here, the therefore is there for the words that Jesus spoke before this. And what did he speak about before this section on worry? It was about life. It was about how to have this connection with God. It was about prayer. It was about storing for yourself treasures in heaven and not on earth. It was about a rightly focused life. So here's what Jesus is saying. God has designed you for so much more than just going through life, facing problems, worrying about your life like everyone else, like the rest of the world does. God has designed you for so much more. You were created by God for more than just you're born, you go to school, you get a job, you get married, you have 2.5 kids, and after 6 or 7 or 8 decades, you retire in Florida, and then one day you die, and that's it. God has designed you for so much more than that. And that is what Jesus is saying to the crowd. Look, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. In other words, have an eternal perspective. This is how you should pray. In other words, God wants to have this connection with you. God has this great plan for your life, and guess what gets in the way of that? worry. We spend our time worrying instead of praying. We spend our time worrying instead of focusing on eternal things. And it becomes this roadblock to life. And so Jesus says, don't do that. God has designed you for so much more. And so worry is illogical. It is useless. It is a roadblock to being the very best that God has designed us to be. And so Jesus therefore says, do not worry. Okay, that's it. We're going to pray and be dismissed. Right? Don't you wish it was that easy? That, you know, Jesus says, don't worry, so I shouldn't worry, and I'm just going to go on, you know, and not worry. No, it's not that easy, right? Not worrying is really hard. How do we battle this thing called worry? How do we fight from going from concern to the emotion of worry? Well, let me give you three things, and this should be on your message map if you've downloaded that. How to battle worry. Number one, read God's Word. One of the greatest ways that you can battle worry in your life is to feed your mind with the Word of God and feed your mind with the truth of the Word of God. And here is why. You are hit, you are hammered all day long with lies. With lies that want to fill your heart and to fill your mind, and lies that will cause you to worry. Now, these lies have been around since time began, since Adam and Eve. These lies have been in our world, but over this last decade, these lies have greatly intensified. You and I live in a day where lies are all around us all the time. We are swimming in a sea of lies, and I blame it on one thing: social media. Ever since the invention of social media, you and I now live in a day and age where we are just hit all the time, constantly, with lies. When I was in college, it's been a minute, I'll admit, when I was in college, social media was not around. In fact, there was not even MySpace. And if you're a Gen Zer or a millennial, you're like, I have no idea what MySpace is. MySpace is the granddaddy on the family tree of social media. It's like the Abraham, you know, the very beginning one. And then you've got, you know, the Instagram and Facebooks and all those that come out from that. MySpace wasn't even around, which meant that I really had no idea what my friends were up to unless I actually talked with my friends or I talked with friends about those friends, which was hard to keep a network of friends other than just a small group. I mean, it was very hard to know what people I went to high school with were up to that I really wasn't keeping up with, or friends that were, you know, sort of friends of friends of friends. I really had no idea what they were doing, which meant there could be this party that some friends had that happened the night before, and I wasn't invited to this party. And the next day, I would wake up, and because I had no idea it happened, I went about my day just blissfully ignorant of the party that they failed to invite me to, and I was fine. I went on with life. Why? I didn't know about it. If this couple started dating, and they had a date on a Tuesday night, and I was kind of feeling bad on that Tuesday night because I couldn't seem to ever get a date, and they're out on this date, I wouldn't know about it. I mean, unless I happened to run into them or somebody told me about the date, most of the time I would just go through life blissfully unaware that I was single and other people were all, you know, getting together and their life was great and mine was, you know, not. I mean, I just didn't know that all that was happening. Well, now all of that has changed. Now, all of that has changed. You get every detail of every moment of everybody's life. And here's what you get. Oh, this is so sad. You get it through the filter of, this is what I want the world to see. This is not reality. This is what I want you to think about me. This is what I want you to think that I'm experiencing right now. And so what they share, what you read, what you see is not, hey, we just had a party. What you read is, this was the greatest party ever that you were not invited to come to. And so while I was in college, I got to just go through my day blissfully unaware that the party had happened. Not you. No, now you know the party, you know, happened and no one invited you. And it's not just, hey, look, I've got these friends. Now it's, I've got the greatest friends ever. Look, we're all at the beach together smiling and just having the grandest time. And it's so incredibly awesome, and all you can think is, I can't even get my friends to text me back you know, and they're all at the beach together. You know, it's not just, hey, that guy has a girlfriend. She's the greatest girlfriend ever. She threw him a surprise party for his birthday, and you're thinking, my girlfriend forgot my birthday. I mean, this is awful. What? Look at this. You know, it's not just that they had a hamburger. It's the greatest hamburger ever from this restaurant, and no hamburger ever created will ever be as good as this one that I just had. And you're like, I haven't had a hamburger in a long time. I'll never get a hamburger like that. And you start reading all of these things, and you're thinking, well, my life isn't nearly as good as everybody else's. And all of these lies begin to fill your mind. You start believing things like this. My life stinks and everyone else's is great. Mine's not, but look at everything that I'm reading. Everyone else is having a blast and I'm not. Everyone else's kids are perfectly wonderful and mine are little hellions. Now, I see the post that you put and your kids are dressed up and they're all just perfect and they're smiling and your house is clean and they're sitting in the corner reading their Bibles, you know, and mine are tearing up the house and won't listen to a word I say. Everyone was invited to the party except for me. Every person on campus was invited to that party, apparently, except for me. Every job is better than my awful job because these posts where these people are putting up how great their workplace is, and you know, here I sit in misery. Their marriage is great and mine not so much because, you know, they're off at Saints somewhere having this great anniversary trip, and you know, here I am just sitting here in Macon, Georgia, and my spouse won't take me anywhere. You start to believe all of these lies. This is why it is so critical for you to feed your mind with the truth of God's Word. I know you guys hear me say it all the time, and you're tired of me telling you this all the time, but read, please, read your Bible and fill your mind with God's truth. And let me just give you a scenario and help you understand how this connects with worry. You get up one morning, your phone goes off, the alarm goes off, because your alarm is on your phone, so you reach over and you push stop or you push snooze three or four times, and finally you push stop on the alarm, and you get up and you take your phone that you've just turned the alarm off, and you open up your phone and you open up your app, Instagram, Facebook, whatever, and you start to read. And you're reading through, and you know, there's some friends on vacation somewhere, and you're not on that vacation, and someone has posted about their kid and how great their kid is doing in school, and your kid's, you know, bombing everything. You know, and you read along, and there was this party, and you know, weren't invited to the party, and you're reading along, and there's all these great things that are happening, and all you can think of is, I'm missing out on all of that. And so finally you say, you know, yeah, I don't need to read this anymore. This is not good for my soul. And so you close that out, and you think, I'll just go over to my news app. Click on the news. Pandemic. More cases. Shutting down businesses. Stock markets falling, unemployment numbers, there are protests, there are racial tensions, there's a Wendy's on fire in Atlanta. I mean, you read all of this stuff and you think, man, life is just awful. Then you go and you eat your breakfast, you get a shower, and you go off to work, and all day long you're just worried about everything. You're full of anxiety over life. Let me change the scenario. Your alarm goes off, you hit it, you don't open your phone. Instead, you go over to a chair, you turn the light on, you get out a paper Bible. They still make them and sell them. You get out a paper Bible, and you open your Bible, and you begin to read. And let's say that you're reading through the Psalms, and that particular day, you read Psalm 139. And here is what you read that morning. First thing, this is what you get up and read. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious, worried thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You fill your mind with the truth of God's Word. that God created you, that you were knit together in your mother's womb, that before the foundations of the earth were laid, God knew you and knew every detail of your life and every anxious thought, every little worry that's crawling around in your heart. God knows about it. And you can say this morning, God, I'm giving all of that over to you. So search me, God. See if there's anything in me that is offensive, any way about my life that is not right. Search that out. Show me the right way. And you go and you eat breakfast and you go and you take your shower and you go to work and everything is different. Well, actually, it's not. Your circumstances are still the same. Your perspective is completely different. Now, so many times people say, well, you know, is that practical? Is what you're preaching on practical? I'm telling you, if you will listen to me and read the Word of God, it is one of the most practical things you can do. It will change your life. It will change your emotions. It will save you from so many issues in life if you will fill your mind with the truth of God's Word. First way to battle worry is read God's Word. The second way is to follow God's will. So Jesus gives this in the context of this long sermon about life. All these areas of life, whether it's prayer or thought life or actions, and there are all these things that Jesus has to do, and he says, if you will follow the prescribed plan that God has for your life, it will decrease worry so much. For example, there's one section where he talks about making promises or making oaths. And Jesus says, don't make a promise you can't keep. Don't swear and make this oath and you can't keep it. He said, in fact, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Just be honest. Just do what you're supposed to do, and just do what you say you're going to do. Just keep it that simple. If you want to add worry to your life, then disregard completely what Jesus said there. If you want to add worry, then tell lies. If you want to add worry to your life, then let your yes be no and your no be yes. If you want to add worry to your life, if you're a college student, here's a great way to do it. Cheat on that final exam. Then you'll spend the next week worried that the teacher is going to discover that you cheated until you finally get it back. Just, you'll worry all week long. If you want to add worry to your life, then disregard the will of God. Now, that doesn't mean that any of us are perfect. We all blow it. We all mess up. However, when we do, many times we add worry and stress to our lives. The more we can follow God's will, the more we can act in the way that God has designed us to act, the more we will decrease worry. And then finally, here's the last thing as we close. Trust God's heart. Trust the heart of God. Jesus, right in the middle of this, makes this statement that is so powerful and really helps us understand the root of worry. He said, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Here Jesus gets right to the root of worry and says, worry is a sign of little faith. That is, faith grows in our life, that worry will decrease. And as faith lessens, then worry will increase. Faith and worry cannot survive in the same heart. One will go up and the other down, the other up, the other down. Now I will confess to you, this is not easy. I personally worry a lot. I find that my concerns bleed over into worry very easily. And maybe I don't have enough faith. I don't know. Maybe my faith is lacking in those areas. I'm not 100% sure. What I know is that for me, this is a daily battle. This is not something where one time you can hear a sermon on it and leave here and go, man, that pastor preached a phenomenal sermon on worry. I'm so thankful. I'll never have to worry again. I'm going to live anxiety-free the rest of my life. It does not work that way. This is a day-by-day, hour-by-hour battle in our lives to fight worry. Several years ago, I came across a quote by Rick Warren who said this, God wants you to trust him one day at a time. Give us this day our daily bread, is how Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread, not for next week, not for next year, not for next month, just one day at a time. It's not enough to pray a prayer and that's it and you're done and you can move on. It is continually coming back to God and saying, I know what the circumstances look like, God. God, I know how big this is, but God, today I am turning this over to you. God, today I am giving this over to you. God, today I am trusting you for whatever provision you will provide so that I don't have to worry about this. The first week we started this series, I gave you guys a prayer. This is a prayer that has been on my heart and mind. It's been on my lips virtually every day since I heard it. Every morning when I get up, I pray this. Every night before I go to bed, I pray this. And typically several times during the day, depending on what all is going on. This is the prayer that has been on my lips. Lord, I give everything and everyone to you. Lord, I give everything, every circumstance, the financial circumstance, my health situation, what's going on in my job. God, I give everything to you. And as well, I give everyone. All those I love, all those that I am concerned about, all of those who are close to me, all of the situations that they are facing, God, I give all of that to you. Today, right now, in this moment, God, I am tempted to worry about these things. Instead, Lord, giving everything and everyone to you. And as we do that, and we trust God to be in control of those circumstances and those individuals, as we do that, worry in our lives will decrease.